This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show, John Jastrzemski of The Ringer and SNY will join us. We'll do a lot of baseball, spend a little time on the trade deadline on Wednesday, but I was recording it Tuesday. The trade deadline had just sort of ended. Didn't really get a chance to digest it. It was more instant reaction, so excited to talk to John about that. And I'll do some baseball off the top here because these division races are getting very interesting. And it's so hard to predict baseball. It's such a long season. Really, the Yankees and the Mets, the up and down nature, the roller coaster nature of both team seasons. I mean, the Yankees were the story in baseball through the middle of June for their dominance on pace to win 110 games or so. Then they remained the story for how bad they were following that. Now they've won five in a row. And this really started with the two out, two strike hit. I mean, you just never know in life when things are about to change or about to turn around. A two out, two strike hit from Grisham Saturday night against the Red Sox. Yankees were in line to lose another horrible game after just an awful loss Friday. And maybe look back in Friday's, that last Friday night's game where Judge hits the monster homer and then they blow it with Holmes at the end. Maybe that's the low point because they've won five since. A tremendous job. You go into Philly after beating Boston two out of three, and with the schedule coming up in August, I'm going to get to it, which is really favorable for the Yankees. Figure, all right, we beat Boston two out of three. If we can just get one in Philly, you know what? We lose two out of three. We'll go on our way. We'll lick our wounds and we'll be ready for August with our trades, Chisholm and Stanton back in the lineup. And you beat Wheeler Monday night. So everything from there on is pretty much gravy. And then to win both of them with Cole getting scratched Tuesday, just a tremendous job. They hold on for dear life. Really for both games, it was never easy. It's never easy with this bullpen. Would have liked one more arm, but here the Yankees are -170. Baltimore is playing Cleveland right now. The Yankees are -170 to win the East at DraftKings. That's a little high. You shop around, they're -130, -135 in other spots. And you think, why would they be -170? They're in second place. Look at this schedule here for the Yankees in August. It starts three games at home against Toronto. This is now three games at home against the Angels, three games at home against the Rangers. Not that easy, but still, that's nine pretty favorable games. Three against the White Sox, who have lost 17 in a row at the time of recording this. Three against the Tigers, three against Cleveland, Colorado at home for three, three at Washington. Then you get the Cardinals. So they don't play. I mean, that's just about as easy it gets. That's, I don't count the games here, but let's say you're playing like 29, 30 games. That's got 20 and 10 written all over. Yankees should be able to make some strides here. Healthier, Stanton, Chisholm, another arm in the bullpen. Yankees should be able to beat up on these bad teams and really continue on this path of success. And you look at the schedule. I mean, we're sitting here, by the time you listen to this, August 2nd, only 2 months left in the season. Yankees and Orioles only play one more series. They play Tuesday, September 24th, Wednesday, September 25th, and Thursday, September 26th. Three games in Yankee Stadium. That's the second to last series of the year. Yankees finish up against the Pirates. So very good chance these teams are within a game or so of each other, maybe tied going into that series. And that series decides. Now, if you're the Yankees, hey, we have an easy schedule. Maybe we can pull away and have a little bit of a cushion heading into that. That would be the goal. But Yankees are at least in good shape here. And I'll go back and forth with, hey, I think they're going to win the division, or I think the Baltimore is going to win, and maybe they can miss the playoffs. Now, this recent streak combined with their upcoming schedule makes them puts them obviously in very good shape to at least make the playoffs, and it gives them a pretty good shot at winning the division. We'll see. Far from over. Baltimore made some moves. Yankees made some moves. You still can't trust the Yankees pitching, the starting rotation, the bullpen. There's still holes in the lineup, but LeMahieu gave you something the other day. So we'll say it should just be a classic down-to-the-wire scoreboard-watching pennant race, which is a lot of fun if you're a baseball fan. That's just, you play 162, and when it comes down to the last couple games, the last week, that's really fun, and it's really exciting, and I think we're headed for that. As far as the rest of baseball, mentioned the Yankees beating Philly. Philly is now only up 6.5 in the time recording this against Atlanta. And Atlanta's playing the Marlins, so Atlanta can inch even closer. And if you shop around, it's amazing the different prices. One book has Philly -650 to win the division. Another book has Philly all the way down to -400, I think, is DraftKings. So shop around if you're interested in that. I still think Philly will hold on, but 6.5 with 2 months to play. Hey, you got a bunch of games head-to-head against the Braves. That's that's far from over where, you know, a couple weeks ago, and that was 9-10, and I wonder if that's why Philly's just gotten a little complacent here. Again, it's just same thing with the Yankees, the Orioles, the Red Sox. It's a long season, and you're going to look like a great team. You're going to look like a bad team. There's a lot of ups and downs for all these teams, and Philly is just going through a rough, rough stretch right now, and Atlanta's at least within shouting distance. And another division I pretty much counted over, and I still think the Dodgers win the West. The Dodgers have played terribly. They are now only 4.5 up on the Padres at the time of recording this. Kershaw was awful on Wednesday night. I don't think he got one swing and miss. He just got absolutely rocked. He's just shot. He's had a weird career because he was such a great great regular season pitcher. Probably one of the top 5 or 10 regular season pitchers of all time. And just was never the same pitcher in the playoffs. Now it's just shot. Now he's just shot. Now it's tough to watch. And they trade for Jack Flaherty, but they're going to need Jack Flaherty because outside of Glasnow and Flaherty, they're really piecing this rotation together. And San Diego is really hot. So we're looking at fun races. San Diego's 8-1 in some spots to win the division. I mean, you could talk me into that. I still think the Dodgers win, but at 4.5 games, I think it was like 15-1 in some books a day or two, or 30-1 in some books a day or two ago. I know one of the Vegas books has 15-1. So shop around at 8-1. I don't know that's enough, but 4.5 again, same thing with Philly and Atlanta as the Padres and the Dodgers. 4.5 games with 2 months to play. Crazier things have happened. And that would be just shocking if the Dodgers, who were, I can't even imagine the high watermark of what the odds were for them, if they ever blew this division, my goodness. And there will be a ton of pressure on them come October, regardless of who wins the division or what happens. So we'll keep an eye on that. Pirates played well against Houston, had a chance to sweep. Cruz made a bunch of errors. They lose that game, but Pirates are in the mix. Mets, Braves. Braves, like I said, have played well here. They're probably going to get a spot. So that's going to be a lot of fun for that last wild card, whether it's Pirates, Diamondbacks, Giants creeping back into the mix, only a couple games under 500. I don't think they'll get in. But, Braves, Mets, Pirates, Diamondbacks, just a fun race. I'm rooting for the Pirates again. I want to see Skeens in the playoffs. I want to see that pitching. That building would be fun. They would be a tough out with anybody's a tough out in a best of three or a best of five. But when you can line up Skeens and Kelly or maybe get Jones back, they would be a lot of fun. And Skeens is now the second short shot with Wheeler getting bombed Monday night. Skeens is under 2-1 at some books. And I know people had him, 200-1 to win the Cy Young, down to 2-1. I ultimately still don't think he's going to win it, but boy, he's knocking on the door. If he continues to be as great as he's been, he'll probably end up finishing second, where if you have him 101, 200-1 and you finish second, that's very, very frustrating. But maybe you can figure out a way to at least get a cash out or take somebody else, take Sale. Again, you still have to worry about Wheeler. So it's not the cleanest hedge in the world unless you have a yes, no line on Skeens, but it's just a remarkable run by Skeens. So a lot of baseball as we're speaking here. Football, the preseason is about to start with the Texans and the Bears. So did a little preseason preview, had a bet preseason with Hitman the other day. If you can get a chance to check that out, he was very good. And I feel like I should have mentioned his record. I think he was like 25-5 last year in preseason. So I forgot to give him his proper accolades, which he deserves. So if you didn't get a chance to listen to that, go back and check that out. But coming up, John Jastrzemski, we will talk baseball, Yankees, Mets, trade deadline, playoffs. All of that is next. This Should Have Bet More podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Bet More podcast. Talk a little baseball, some trade deadline. Nobody better to do that with than our next guest. You can catch him at The Ringer. SNY does a great job with the New York podcast. It is John Jastrzemski. John, what's up, man? Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for the kind introduction, Will. It's a pleasure to be on. And I can say that I am in a much better mood than the last time you and I were having a conversation a couple of days ago when you were doing your show with Yumis after the Yankee meltdown against the Red Sox.
Yeah, I think one of my last questions to you is like, as bad as it is, can we see it maybe turning with Stanton back and Chisholm back, make some trades? Is there a path? And I think we both kind of agreed, hey, maybe schedule gets a little lighter. And I think you made the point, and I agree with you, that it might be after Boston and Philly it starts to clear up, but it cleared up better or quicker than we thought. That being said, the vibes are good. Everyone's happy now. Good series against Boston, good series against Philly. I need a little more than Mark Leiter Jr. for my trade deadline. I wanted another either starter, another reliever. I still think they have some holes pitching, Glaber defensively. This wasn't the splash move. I know you got Chisholm, you got Leiter. It's okay, but I don't know. I feel like they needed a little more. What were your thoughts here on the trade deadline?
So I gave him a B. I did this on my pod right after the deadline. I did this on SNY right after the Met game finished with the Minnesota Twins and the dust had kind of settled. I think they address needs, right? They got a bat with athleticism that can lengthen out the lineup and gives you position versatility. There's no getting around that in Chisholm. And I think from an offensive standpoint, unless they were going to go and get Yandy Diaz, who ultimately did not get traded by Tampa Bay, who was the other bat for the Yankees to go and get? And I understand the frustrations with Gleyber Torres. And I know there are a whole lot of Yankee fans in my life who don't want to see Gleyber Torres play ever again. I totally get that, but he has hit better the last few weeks. We all know he's not going to be back after this 2024 season. And the idea that Chisholm now is saying, hey, I can handle third base. I got you, Skip. I got you guys. You don't have to worry about this. I'm okay, Yankees, offensively, because you hit on it. Stanton is back. Dominguez maybe can take Verdugo's spot potentially down the road. It requires guys currently on the team to go and hit, which, by the way, was going to be the case anyway. I'm totally fine with the Yankee lineup and the move that they made. The bullpen, to me, is where I'm kind of looking for more. And you know what it is, Will? They added swing and miss. They added two guys, Leiter and De Los Santos, who have great swing and miss numbers. All the nerds, they profile well, great. But when you have a closer that doesn't have swing and miss, and Holmes doesn't have swing and miss, you wanted some insurance for that. Now, again, my counter would be the Tanner Scott price was ridiculous. Is Tanner Scott really going to give you that much? I know he's been great this year, but he's closing games in oblivion with the Miami Marlins. Nobody cares. The games, there's five people in the stands. It's a lot different closing games in Miami than it is closing Yankees, Orioles, September, American League East on the line. You know what I mean? So Fairbanks was the guy I really wanted. So I guess what I'm getting at here is I'm a little bummed out they didn't get a closer, but I understand, hey, maybe that guy wasn't necessarily available, and that's why I think a B, maybe a B minus, somewhere along those lines is where you'd grade out this Yankee deadline.
Yeah, and I understand it was a seller's market too. I mean, I talked about this the month leading up to the deadline where you just go through the teams and everyone says, hey, this team's going to add and that team's going to add. Well, there's only so many teams. There's only a handful of teams that are selling. Rockies, Marlins, by the way, the Rockies, I don't know if they've ever heard of a trade deadline because the Rockies didn't do anything. Really strange. I mean, but besides Rockies, Marlins, Angels, A's, I mean, there's only six or seven teams to pick from and they had all the cards. And it's easy for us to say, hey, you should have made more moves, but we don't really know what was being offered and the counters. That being said, this to me, this was just a year. You don't have any guarantee of having Soto next year. Judge is getting older. Cole's getting older. This was kind of an all-in year. This was a year to be a little reckless and do what the Padres did. So you know what? I know it's probably 150 cents on the dollar, but this is our year. This is our time. Haven't been to World Series in 15 years. We'll overpay. We want to win. And I'm with you. I wanted one more arm in the bullpen.
Yeah. I mean, listen, if there was an all-in move available, like you think about it in previous deadlines, like Manny Ramirez getting moved from Boston to L.A. or Cespedes getting moved to the Mets, or, you know, I could think of a bunch of, like, Mark Teixeira, for example, going from the Braves to the Anaheim Angels. Like, if that sort of guy was moved, I feel like I'd have a lot more frustration because I'd say, wow, you know, the Yankees, to everything you just alluded to, kind of missed a boat and missed a window. But, Will, my counter to this is, what was the all-in move that was made at this trade deadline? Forget about the Yankees. The Orioles, that like Jack Flaherty, I'm sorry. Jack Flaherty is not an all-in move. I know he's pitched well. I know his ERA is great with the Tigers. The guy has stunk for 3 years. Like, I cannot look at Jack Flaherty and say, oh my God, he's on the Yankees now. That's the sort of move that puts you over the top. I just don't see it that way. So that move to me, Skubal, Yankees weren't getting him. Crochet, Yankees weren't getting him. Like, I think those big names that were being floated out there, if you're going to look at this positively, and I am, I'm going to look at it glass half full, the Orioles were way better positioned to go and get one of those guys than the Yankees because their farm system is a lot better. They have a lot more high caliber, high quality guys they could go and trade. And I look at the Orioles, I don't look at Rodgers and Eflin and Eloy Jimenez and say, oh, the Orioles, they had this great deadline. It's like the Yankees. Yeah, it's okay. So net negative as far as I'm concerned.
Right now, life on the line, who wins the AL East?
It's crazy I'm going to answer this question this way because a week ago I would have told you the Orioles hands down. I'm starting to think it just goes to show you in a nutshell how much this can change over, you know, a day-by-day, week-by-week kind of basis. The Yankees winning these two series against Boston and Philadelphia, I think it's going to be a huge springboard for them. I really do. Like, we talked about it when I came on with you on Friday. I never had any question about them missing the playoffs because I looked at their August schedule and I'm like, wow, Toronto, Oakland, Anaheim, Colorado, Detroit. Like, the Yankees, they got Cupcake City in August. I think they're going to take advantage of that. I still have serious questions and doubts about what they'll look like come playoff time, but they are favored to win a division as we speak. I'm going to say the Yankees win it. I am.
Yeah, if the Yankees are playing deep into October, I think we will all look back on the Grisham hit that Saturday night, two outs, two strikes, where they were just down. It was another brutal Yankee loss where they got up 3-0 early, and it was just going to be another heartbreaking, just defeating loss. And Grisham gets the hit. They win in extra innings. And since then, maybe you look at that as a turning point. I know when they won the World Series in 2009, they had a series in Atlanta where they weren't playing well. Cashman came and talked to the team. And ever since that point, they played on like 110-win pace or something crazy. Maybe the Grisham hit's the one you look back on as the one that turned the season.
You know, I sure hope so. And, you know, I go back and listen. It's obviously not the same sort of history and high stakes poker you had in 2004. But I'll never forget about the ALCS and losing the four straight games the way the Yankees did. Well, the Red Sox were kind of reeling midway through the year. They played a Saturday afternoon game. I'll never forget this. Varitek got into a fight with Alex Rodriguez. The Yankees had a lead in the ninth inning. Mariano's on the mound, and Bill Miller hit a walk-off homer. And in the regular season, at least, and I know they didn't catch the Yankees for the division, from that point forward, the 2004 Red Sox took off. They played unbelievable baseball, July, August, and into September. And I really do think it was like that sort of game changer for them. I know it sounds weird because it's like, dude, it's one out of 162. How much of a difference can one game make? But I think from a psyche standpoint, there are like certain moments throughout a year that you look back on that kind of changed the tide and changed the fortunes. And I think the Yankees, who lost that Friday night game in epic fashion, were down on Saturday. It looked like it was going to be another brutal loss. Soto, remember, running through the stop sign. You're like, geez, what is he doing? And to be down to your last strike and win the game, that's, I think the Yankees are hoping they look at that Saturday game. And if they end up having a big year and they end up getting a World Series, we'll be talking about that game for a long, long time. We really will.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And what Judge is doing now is just incredible on just another level than anything really we've ever seen. I mean, it's just you run out of accolades for him. It's incredible. Switch over to the National League, I guess, because I want to ask about the Mets, but let's do it this way. The division winners, you would agree it's probably Philly, Dodgers, Brewers. Do you disagree with any of those?
Yeah, I can't. I mean, all three of them have monstrous leads. Dodgers are not losing the division.
No.
Phillies, I know they have not played great as of late, but they have such a gigantic cushion. They're going to be fine. And yeah, I'd probably say the same with the Brewers. There's no intrigue there. To me, all the intrigue is with the wild card, and it's uber competitive at the moment.
So let's, you'll give the Braves a spot or not necessarily?
Yeah, I'm going to say they get in.
Okay.
So now they have not played great, but they add Soler. They'll find a way. I think the Braves find a way.
I tend to agree with you. So that leaves two spots. So that leaves Mets, Pirates, Padres, Cardinals. I would love the Pirates to get in. They haven't been good in forever. It's a good fan base. The pitching schemes would be fun in the playoffs. I hope they get in. So I don't know. You find the last two teams out of Mets, Pirates, Padres, Cardinals, and anyone else you want to throw in this mix.
Ooh, this is tough. I know the Padres had a very active deadline. I like Arizona.
Ooh.
I do. And I know Seawald, he's blown a ton of games, but that's a team that made the playoffs last year. They got hot right around this time. And I bet them over wins, and I bet them to make the playoffs. So I kind of feel like I got to keep riding on that. The other one I would give you is the team in my backyard. I think the Mets, I do. The Senga injury really hurts them because they thought they were getting a big starting pitcher coming back. But I just trust that lineup day in and day out. And I know I'm disregarding some of the central teams. That means the Cardinals and the Pirates. To me, the Pirates just don't have enough offense. That, to me, is my biggest issue with them. I love Skeens. I love their pitching. Their offense is not good enough. Probably disregarding the Cardinals a little bit here, and I know they got a bunch of pedigree. It's tough. I'm going to say the Mets and the Diamondbacks. I'll go against the grain a little bit here.
How did you like the Mets deadline here? I think Blackburn's a super underrated pitcher. Kind of got off the radar because he's been hurt. They had some bullpen arms. I thought they did a pretty good job. Were you happy here from a Mets perspective with their deadline?
Yeah, I'd say they did a similar job to the Yankees. They filled needs. They didn't go nuts. They didn't make the eye-popping trade, but they got a back-end starting pitcher who maybe will perform better under, you know, a different set of circumstances in Blackburn. Brazoban's been throwing great for the Marlins. But again, you always wonder with these guys, they're pitching in oblivion. the pitching in games that don't matter. Now all of a sudden, hey, you're pitching in a pennant race. How do you handle it? But on the surface, Brazoban's numbers look really, really good. Great. And then you look at bringing in Jesse Winker, who has been a Met killer for years and has put up good numbers with the Nationals. I kind of like the idea of adding another bat. So, yeah, I'd say Stearns and the Mets for a year that's not all in for them by any means did a good job at this deadline. No question.
Yeah, and if they ever got to the playoffs, the Mets, it would be total house money. The fans like this team. It's an underdog team. There were no expectations. I mean, talk about one. It's amazing the two turnarounds from the New York team, from the Yankees, the good, the really good to the bad, and it's hopefully turned again now to the good. But from their good to bad, from the Mets bad to good, are just two of like the. It's why you can't predict sports. It's why it's hard to win betting money. It's why it's hard to predict anything. You just can't predict.
It also shows you, Will, what a long season.
Yes.
The baseball season is where 2 months, still an eternity. July, still an eternity. We still got 2 full months of baseball left. And I'm sure narratives and feelings and thoughts will shift that much more between now and when the postseason rolls around in October.
Same exercise for the American League division. So you like the Yankees, we'll give it to the Guardians and the Astros. Is that fair in those divisions?
Yeah, I think that AL West is going to be a lot of fun. And don't sleep on the Texas Rangers.
With you.
See, that's what the way I'm looking at this, if I'm the Yankees or if I'm the Orioles, who right now are 1-1A, according to the odds boards, to go and win the American League, I'm rooting for as many AL Central teams to get into the playoffs as possible. And I'm not trying to disparage Cleveland, who's had a great year, or the Royals, who are fun. And I love Bobby Witt Jr. and Seth Lugo. I don't think those teams, and they've shown this now in the postseason over the last 7 or so years, the AL Central just doesn't win. They just don't win these postseason series. And to me, teams out in the West, like if the Astros get in, whether it's division or wild card, they're far more dangerous. Texas, if they get guys back, they're far more dangerous. Seattle, even though they can't really hit, and I know they added a Rosarena and they added Justin Turner, their pitching would scare me. Like, these are teams I don't want in the playoffs. Give me the Twins, give me the Royals, and give me the Guardians for that matter. I don't think any of those teams are making serious noise come October. The West teams, if you're looking for a value ticket on somebody to win the AL pennant, I think you got to look at the AL West. Now, the Astro number has fallen. Now, they've kind of been in a little funk over the last week, but like their pedigree, you expect them to get in. Until they don't, like, you almost have to blindly say, hey, the Astros are going to find a way. But I do think Seattle and Texas are more dangerous than some of those other teams.
So Yankees and Orioles, that's two spots. Then we give the Guardians a spot. Then we give the Astros a spot. Who would you give the final? Who do you think gets the final two? Would you go with the West teams?
Well, and I forgot about the Red Sox, too.
Yeah,
I think the Central's going to get a second team. I'm going to say Kansas City gets in.
Okay.
I'm going to say Kansas City gets in. I'm going to say the Twins are out. And then I'll go Seattle.
Okay.
I'll say Seattle and Kansas City. I don't love Seattle, but I'll say they find a way to make it.
Me neither. Those pitchers are good, like Gilbert and Kirby. Those
they
guys
rotate,
are good.
And Castillo, that's a tremendous rotation.
It is. And even Wu's pretty good. But, man, every time I bet those guys like Kirby or Gilbert, I mean, you can just pencil them in for 5 innings, 5 runs. They always screw me. I never trust those guys for whatever
reason. Well, they don't score enough runs. That's the problem with Seattle.
Pay a million times. They strike out a
ton. You know, it's interesting now, thinking about teams come October. The old adage used to be, well, you got to have the great starting rotation, the great starting rotation. Now I kind of look at it and say, what lineup do I trust the most to go and be relentless and kind of work their way through a postseason? Yeah, you need a couple of shutdown arms. Don't get me wrong. You can't have a terrible pitching staff. But I feel like that lineup I trust the most, that usually makes a world of difference.
Yes, but especially now, like the starting pitcher is so devalued where you're just trying to turn over the lineup a couple of times, then you march out a bunch of different
and then bingo, and get him out playoff, for sure.
Bullpen arms. Do you think Skeens is live for Cy Young? He's now the second short shot, only behind Sale.
So I do, but I always am leery of these young pitchers at the end of their first year and how they're gonna hold up. You know, I think from a narrative standpoint, the narrative is going to be, let's get Paul Skeens to Cy Young. He's one of the bright young stars in the game. I mean, the dude started the All-Star game, for goodness sakes. And I guess there are questions, too, about Sale and his body, and he could break down at any minute. But I wonder about the young guy. You know, like, it's a lot on him. Let's see how he holds it up in August and September.
Final one. What's your most... I guess your hottest take for football, your most controversial or differentiating opinion in terms of the NFL season.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. I want to be different here. I don't want to give you something that's lame. Like, I don't want to be like, oh, you know, the Niners are going to get back to the Super Bowl. Whoop-de-doo. Or the Eagles are going to win the NFC East.
Let me tee up on this one, too, because you're in New York, and I think they're a fascinating team. The Jets. Where are you on the Jets while you think about that?
They're a playoff team, but they're getting way too overhyped. They're getting way too overhyped right now. The idea that I'm seeing people pick the Jets to go to the Super Bowl with a 41-year-old quarterback coming off a torn Achilles and a coach who's like 20 games under 500, you could sell me on the Jets winning the division. You could sell me on the Jets being a playoff team. Here's the one for you. And I'm a Dolphin fan, but I'm going to be full transparent about this. I think Buffalo is undervalued going into the season. And I think they're undervalued because the quarterback is by far and away the best quarterback in the division. I think he's a top three quarterback in the league. And I think people are looking at some of their losses and they're overhyping. Like, Stephon Diggs stunk last year. Stunk. To me, I don't think that's a huge deal losing him to the Houston Texans. So I'm going to say Buffalo will win the AFC East. I don't think they're favored, but I almost think they're being a little undervalued here. The other one is I think the Houston Texans are way too sexy and way too overvalued going into the year. Let's not forget something here. The Texans, as terrific as they were in that first playoff game against Cleveland, the Texans lost to Zach Wilson.
That's a good way of putting it. That's a good way of
putting it. They lost to Zach Wilson. So before you start betting Houston to go to the Super Bowl this year, you might want to consider that. I think Houston is the sexy team that will not pay off for bettors. Does that work for you?
100%. Yeah, no, and you go back and you look at the quarterbacks they played last year. You mentioned Zach Wilson, Russell Wilson, Minshew twice, Tannehill, Levis, Bryce Young, Baker Mayfield. The best quarterback they played was Lamar week one and then again in the playoffs, and that was it. And that's going to turn this year when you have a first-place schedule in the AFC. That's the real deal. That's the big boys.
I'm betting they're under. You heard it here first, Will. I am betting they're under. And what I want to figure out, I haven't done it yet, is I want to figure out what team I'm going to back between either Indianapolis or Jacksonville to win the division. And Jacksonville at least did it 2 years ago. They paid Trevor Lawrence, who to me, you know, everybody gives my guy Tua crap. Trevor Lawrence, the idea that people put him on a pedestal, he's totally got a lot of work to do. Listen, super talented. But like, if Tua got all this money, Look at his numbers and Trevor Lawrence's numbers the last 2 years. They're not close. Tua's are way better. Across the board, way better. I want to get behind Indianapolis. The problem I have with the Colts is last year they had, you know, a workman-like veteran quarterback. There's this ultimate boomer bust with Richardson. He could be amazing and way better than what Minshew provided. Or you could look at him and say, he's a rookie, not ready yet. So those are the two teams I'm kind of eyeing up maybe win the AFC South.
Yeah, I landed on the Colts. I love Steichen. I think Richardson's got the good upside. Coach. He was not as raw as I thought last year. I'm now, look, he's a car crash every play because he's so big and so physical. And it'd be one thing if he had like one injury and he missed the season. He had a concussion, shoulder, ankle.
No, he throws his body everything around. And Will, let me tell you something. If you're the Colts and you're Steichen, you have to tell him, hey, you gotta be smarter with your body. You have to. You're gonna be out of this. You're gonna be done in four games.
Yeah. And the one good thing, though, is if he has to miss two or three games with his style, he probably will. You at least have Flacco, who's a competent backup.
I agree. And listen, we saw Flacco for Cleveland last year play really, really well. That team, to me, you were asking me about these teams. I'm thinking about this now. I am having the hardest time trying to figure out where I stand on the Browns. That team in the AFC more than any team. I am in such no man's land with them because I love their defense. I'm a fan of their coach, but I think the quarterback may be beyond repair. And I have to wonder about Chubb coming back and what he's going to look like. And the other thing with Cleveland, look at their home road splits defensively.
Yep.
As good as that defense was at home, you take them away from Cleveland, they stunk. And we saw that in the playoffs. So that's the one I'm already telling you. I'm like throwing my hands in the air. Like I have like my board mentally. I'm like, I like this team. I don't like this team. They're undervalued. They're overvalued. The Browns, I don't know, dude. I done.
Yeah, if they went 12-5, I wouldn't blink. If they went like, you know, 6-11 or 5-7 and 10,
I wouldn't blink. I totally agree.
JJ, I appreciate the time, man. This was fun. Appreciate a few minutes. Hopefully we'll catch up here down the road. Let everyone know where they can find you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yes, you want to check out all the stuff we got on The Ringer, New York, New York, for all your New York sports needs. I do gambling stuff on our gambling feed, East Coast Bias, and then we'll have our shows coming up on Thursday mornings, and once the football season rolls around, on Monday mornings, and SNY right after Met games. Check it out.
JJ, appreciate it, man. Thanks for coming on.
Anytime, Will. Thanks, buddy.
All right, that'll do it. Thank you to John Jastrzemski. We will be back Monday. Rate, review, subscribe, enjoy the weekend. See you then.